Morning, good morning. My name is Zach Benner. I'm the intern here this summer. I'm the son of Lauren and Amy Benner and the grandchild of Galen and Eileen Benner. Praise God that they are present with us today. I go to Liberty University. I'm in my sophomore year. I'm majoring in accounting. That clip that you just saw was from House of David. They came to Liberty and they did a convocation on a Wednesday. So the man who played David, the man who played Goliath, and the producer of the show all were there. So just a little quick advertisement for Liberty before we get into this. You know, if you guys need a school or send a grandchild or something, it's a good spot. But we're currently in the series called Molded, Created for Worship. The sermon today is called Molded for the Moment. So the moment was when David came into the house of Saul and he played his lyre. That was the moment that we were talking about. And why David had to do that brings me to my first point. Saul had a position, but he had lost the anointing. 1 Samuel 16:14 tells us that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. So real quick, I just want to talk about the difference between the Old Testament anointing and the New Testament anointing. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord would come, but it was selective. It was for empowerment and leadership. It would come on prophets, priests, and kings. And this was symbolized by oil. So when Samuel anointed David, he had a horn of oil, and he put it on David's head, and then he rubbed it around. But now in the New Testament, Jesus has come. He is the anointed one. And when he leaves, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. But the anointing is when the Holy Spirit uses our God-given gifts to enable us and to empower us. Hold on. I'm going to say that again. The anointing is when the Holy Spirit uses our God-given gifts to enable us and to empower us into his calling on our lives, that be ministry, leadership, or just spiritual effectiveness.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Maybe we need to switch mics or something. So this is the difference between David and Saul and why Saul lost the anointing. When Saul disobeyed God, he didn't have that repentant heart. He did it to win back the pride of his army. But when David messed up, his heart posture was correct. He had a repentant heart. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. So who in here plays fantasy football? Raise a hand. I'm in a church league here, so I know a couple of you guys play. I won the league 2 years ago. And Josh beat me in the championship last year, which is just a little unfortunate. But I also play fantasy football with my friends. And we have this weird thing we do every year. It's like a punishment, okay? And 1 year, we decided the punishment was a dog crate. So this dog crate, okay, so the loser of the league would have to go into this dog crate. And we would pour water, we would pour hay, the most gross stuff that you could ever imagine, on this dog crate, okay? So we locked Joe into this crate for 5 minutes, and he had to just stay there. So, and I will say, there was a little disagreement where some people thought I was the loser of the league, which it's just not true, and Joe was the loser of the league, okay? So he's in this dog crate. We let him out, and Joe comes bolting at me. Okay, Joe is running at me because he thinks that I should have been in the dog crate, which I shouldn't have been in the dog crate in the first place. But he comes sprinting after me, okay? And we're running, and I get in my car to get away from him. But he runs into my car, and all gross, think about just him, just gross. I was cleaning my car until 12 a.m. that night. It was gross. So I get out of my car, Joe gets out of the car, and we're in a standstill. So Joe, I'm right here, and Joe's right there. And he starts bolting at me. And I don't know what to do. I freeze, and he runs at me, and I'm boom! I punch him in the face. This was the only time I've ever punched someone in the face, just to be clear. And I think the only time that Joe has been punched in the face. But that relates to our story, because Saul, when he's in the dog crate, he's in the anointing of God. But when he leaves the dog crate, and when he's trying to run without God, he gets smacked in the face and the anointing leaves him. That brings me to Romans 8:5-7. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So Saul, his mind was governed by the flesh. Therefore, he could not submit to God's law. This is the danger of serving out of memory instead of the anointing. So number two, David had a heart of worship shaped in private. He wasn't looking to be impressive, but he was faithful in the field. When he tended the sheep, he was faithful and content at where he was at. This brings me to Psalm 78:72. He shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. He was content at where he was at. He did not manufacture the anointing that God had put on his life. He was content where he was at. He was serving the sheep in the fields, right? And the integrity of the heart is not wanting more. It's being content of where God has you and trusting his timing. In that time of contentment and serving where we are at, God is shaping us into someone that he can use, right? David was shaped in private in the fields, worshiping God. This brings me to 1 Samuel 17:15. It tells us, I love this. It tells us, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So at this point in the story, David is already anointed, but he still goes back and forth from the field to the battlefield where he's going to defeat Goliath. So his dad sends him with donkeys, and he goes and he blesses his brothers with all the stuff that his dad gives him. But then he gets word because his dad is so scared and he wants to know what's happening in the war with his brothers. But he, even with the anointing, and David knows he's anointed at this point, he still serves. And he goes, he serves, right? But then he also comes back and tends the field. He tends to the presence of God, right? And that's where he was shaped into someone that God could use. We need to be a vessel of God. We need to find that space of repentance, of worship, of prayer, of reading God's word. For me personally, I either go into my basement, I either go to the creek, or I go on my scooter. I get a lot of hate for my scooter. I personally think it's cool, but yeah, it's just we need to find that place. And I suggest people get out of their rooms. It's like you sleep there. I don't know. It's a mind thing. But you get out of your room, you go into a space, and it's just your mind is focused on God and tending to God's presence. You can go there. I do this on my scooter. I ride around with worship music in. On my way here, the first song I put on was What a God. And it was from Southeastern University. That's right, Southern Eastern University. And that's where Josh went. Me and him have a little debate about which is better, Liberty or SEU. I think SEU only has worship on Liberty, personally. But yes, whatever this looks like in your life, we need to have that spot where we go to and that we can tend to the presence of God and that we can be open and that we can be a person that God can use and that God can anoint. This brings me to my third point. Worship in the Spirit brings transformation. So when David played, Saul found peace. 1 Samuel 16:23. Whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. So when David came into the house of Saul, there was evil spirits. God had sent an evil spirit onto Saul. So then when he anoints David, and with that Holy Spirit, and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, David came into that place. And God used him through his gifts and abilities of playing the lyre to calm that room and to get that evil spirit out of there. So this is my one and only point today. David's worship was more than skill. It was anointed. If he didn't have that anointment of the Holy Spirit in that place, nothing would have happened. The evil spirit still would have been there. But God had anointed him because he was open, because he had spent the time in the fields, right? So that brings me to 2 Timothy 1:7. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The spirit that lives in us changes the atmosphere in our house, in our car, in our cubicle at work. The spirit of the Lord should be evident. When people come into our house, they're like, this is different, right? Because we're tending to the presence of God. That doesn't happen without the tending of the presence of God. True worship just isn't about the music. It's about the spirit behind it, about the heart posture behind it. Just because you know the song doesn't mean you've met the one it's about. Let me say that again. Just because you know the song doesn't mean you've met the one it's about.
All right. Is this mic working? Yeah, sweet. So I want to tell a story to kind of close our time together. I was 21 years old. I moved from my home city of Ocala, Florida to Lakeland, Florida to attend Southeastern University. I felt the Lord calling me there to pursue this degree in ministry, ministerial leadership to be exact. And before I had left, I had a team of people around me just praying for me and believing for me and kind of sending me. And I'll never forget, someone in this group had a word. They said, Josh, if you will find yourself in his house the rest of your days, he'll always provide for you. And at that time in my life, 18, I'd come back to the Lord. I grew up a Christian, but came back to the Lord. And one of the movements in the earth that's still going on that really inspired me and provoked my faith to a deeper level is called the International House of Prayer. Now, these houses of prayer are all over the world, all over America. In fact, here in Lancaster County, we have a house of prayer. And it is modeled after the Tabernacle of David, where 24/7 prayer and worship existed. And so in Lakeland, Florida, there's a house of prayer, and I'll never forget it. I moved to Lakeland, and my first priority was to get a job because I'm a broke college student, so I got a full-time job, but then also to get a part of this house of prayer. And so I would go to this house of prayer, and I would just sit there for two-hour worship sets, usually is the length of them, and just kind of soak in the presence of God. And then after a while of getting to know the leadership, I joined the team as an intercessor. And so during a worship set, there's an intercessor and there's a worship team, and they're coexisting together. As the intercessor is praying, the worship team is singing the prayers of that person. And I'll never forget, as I was sitting there, I was reminded of this scene of tending to sheep that David did. Now, I'm not a shepherd. I know nothing really about farming, but this is what I do know, is that tending to the presence of God is very similar to tending to sheep. It's careful, it's delicate. When one goes astray, it's led back by the shepherd. And this is what I know about the anointing of God, as Zach just gave us, is that the anointing is not something that is manufactured. It's not something that is microwaved or you can just throw in the oven. The anointing is to be tended to by God's people, right? The Holy Spirit is not just some force that we can manipulate. He comes where he is welcome. And my question for us today as we close this message is the Holy Spirit welcome in our life, first and foremost? But secondly, are we tending to his presence? Are we listening? Are we obeying where he is leading us? If you're taking notes, write this down. David learned to tend to sheep, and in the process, learned to tend to God's presence. There's something about tending. See, David could be trusted by God because he tended to these sheep in this field. And before he ever threw a stone that killed this guy named Goliath, David could be trusted in the small things. Before David was known as a warrior, a king, or even a musician, he was a shepherd. He was out in the quiet fields. He learned to listen and to obey. He wasn't just learning leadership. He was actually learning attentiveness, right? He was learning those slow things that just to be able to listen and hear God's presence. As I sat in the prayer room, oftentimes I would get distracted. I can get distracted super easy. And as I would get distracted, I would often remind myself, no, I just need to focus in. And over time, God would speak to me in that prayer room. In fact, I really credit that prayer room to a lot of my faith of where I am today, because I sat there and just listened and I tended to the flame of God's altar. I believe this worship begins in the secret places. And so before David ministered to kings, as we saw in that video from the house of David, before he played for Saul, he was out in the fields playing. He was playing for the sheep. He was playing for the nature around him. He was tending to the presence of God. Worship leaders, preachers, volunteers, anyone in ministry, you don't become effective on the platform. You become effective in the pasture, right? You don't become effective just standing on a stage declaring God's truth. You become effective in the secret place, listening and obeying what he's speaking to you. Number two, if you're taking notes, is anointed worship flows from a life that tends to the presence, right? So David wasn't performing for Saul. I know it's easy for us in our modern culture to listen to music and be like, wow, that's a great performance. But oftentimes what was happening even on this stage this morning, these were worship leaders who had prepared their hearts behind the scenes and were tending to the presence here in the room. Worship isn't just a show. We're not just singing songs to have good nostalgia. We're singing songs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to move heaven, to partner with heaven, and to see heaven invade earth. He knew what it meant to host the Spirit, right? So when he's playing for Saul in this moment in Saul's chamber, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel there that there was an evil spirit that had afflicted Saul. And so I don't know what that looked like. I would imagine it was restlessness. It was maybe he couldn't sleep. And so David would come in with this harp and just start playing beautifully. And yes, he is a skilled musician. Yes, the Lord used his gifting, but the anointing coming out of that harp did something to the atmosphere that the Bible tells us that when David played, the evil spirit departed Saul. Saul was at peace. He could feel at peace. Just like a good shepherd tends to the flock with consistency and care, we're called to tend to God's presence in our lives with the same level of devotion. Right? We're called to that same level of devotion that I know for a lot of us in this room, we're busy. We have things happening in our lives and a million things coming at us at once. And it oftentimes feels daunting to say, oh, I can't really sit for an hour to tend to God's presence. But just as Zach said, maybe tending to God's presence is on your way to work, driving in your car. Maybe it's waking up in the morning in the shower and it's just you in the shower and you're listening and hearing from the Lord. You're worshiping in your own words. What does tending to the presence look like for you? We don't get the anointing by chasing a stage or chasing some level of influence. We get the anointing by tending to his presence. The thing that I love about the New Testament, and we're in New Testament living, is that in the Old Testament, the anointing only came to priests and to kings and to certain levels of people. In the New Testament, Jesus has come so that all of us in this room can experience the anointing of God. Wherever you walk, the anointing actually comes with you to change the atmosphere around the place you're at. So if you walk into a dark place, I can say this from personal experience. There's a place in Florida called Ybor City. Ybor City is known for prostitution. It's known for really dark things. I went there for a concert with some friends, and I'll never forget, as soon as I walked in there, you could feel the darkness. But I was reminded of the light that lives in me, not because of who I am, but because of who He is in me. And so wherever I walked in that place that night, I just felt the presence of God walking with me. This is what happens when God anoints your life. You can do amazing things. You can experience levels of His presence. Number three, lastly, is tending to the presence means creating space even when you're busy. I want to look at this scripture in 2 Kings. Elisha is now on the scene, and he is kind of the man in charge. Elijah has been taken, and Elisha is kind of leading the charge. And what I love in this story so much is that Elisha gets summoned by the king, and the king says, you know, hey, we want to bring the prophet and to declare the word of the Lord. And I love Elijah's response. The first thing he says is he says, now bring me a harpist. Notice he doesn't say, hey, bring me your best archers, bring me your best men of war. He says, bring me the harpist. And I love this because it says, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha. Again, we're talking about worship. This series, Molded, is all about worship. And there's something about anointed worship that when we partner with it, it changes the atmosphere around us. What would your home look like? If you're not a good singer, who cares? Sing a new song to the Lord. If you don't know how to play the guitar, throw on Spotify, throw on the playlist, throw on some music. What would happen in our homes and in Mount Joy if all of a sudden all of our homes just became altars to the Lord? Right? I love this picture of Elisha. I can just see him there partnering with the harpist, and he's declaring the word of the Lord as the harpist plays. He was tending to God's presence. In chaos or confusion, the anointing flows through those who have already made room for God. My question, church, is have we made room for God in our life? John Tyson, a pastor in New York City, recently released this podcast on tending to the presence of God, and I listened to it, and I was blown away by what God's doing in New York City through his church there. But he said this question. He said, for us personally, is God welcome? God comes where he's welcomed. And I think it's easy for us to be like, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, we're doing the checklist here. And we can do all those things and we can actually miss the presence of God because we're doing it out of routine instead of saying, God, I'm actually here to tend to your presence. I'm here to minister to your name. When I sing worship, I know it's going before your throne and partnering with the elders and the seraphim around the throne of God. And in that scene of worship, God, these songs are more than just songs that fill a room. They're songs that move heaven. Anointed worship does something. The anointing on our life, man, does something to our life. You can't microwave the presence of God. It's cultivated. You can't microwave. You can't just pop it in the oven and be like, all right, cool, presence of God. It takes time. It takes diligence. You don't get molded by rushing through moments. You get molded by tending to the presence day by day. David learned that in the field, and that's what made him ready for ministry. I believe David's ministry, you know, the story of Saul and David is actually really tragic. You have a king who was anointed, but because he chose to disobey the Lord, loses the anointing, God chooses a new king who's young, who's handsome, who's talented. But this is the thing that sets David apart. His heart was always positioned to be after God. Even in his moral failing, later we know that he fails big time. Right? Has a dude killed, cheats, the whole thing. His heart of repentance was there. And because of that, God said, hey, for the rest of your days, your house, I'm going to build my house in your lineage. David wasn't a perfect person, but this is what David learned. He knew how to tend to God's presence, and also he had a heart that was chasing after God. So I want you to write this question down to think about today and maybe in the weeks to come. It's this: what kind of atmosphere are you carrying? What kind of atmosphere are you carrying? Are you carrying an atmosphere of fear, of chaos, of confusion? Or are you carrying an atmosphere of peace, of life, of love? Are you tending to God's presence in your life? And if the answer is, I don't know, that's a great place to be. Or if the answer is no, how then can I get there? This is what I love about our church. Our church is full of saints who love Jesus. And I gather with you in community and to say, hey, you're not alone in this. Tending to the presence of God shouldn't be daunting. It shouldn't be overwhelming. It should just be like, hey, we need the anointing. In these days, we need the anointing of God. People don't want just a manufactured faith. They want a real, genuine faith. And that comes through the anointing. Can we pray?